Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 8, very quickly. If you're there, say amen. If you're looking for it, say wait and wait for me. Okay, now because you said so, we're not going to wait. What part of the Bible are you reading now? Maybe some of you are in the book of Genesis. I said Acts. Amen. All right. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, in verse 1 to verse 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name or surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, so that you don't miss it, whose house is by the sea. Again, so you don't miss it. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all those things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. We pray for the blessing on your word this morning. We ask that you will wing these words with the power of your spirit, cause them to go forth with precision into the hearts of your children. We pray that in the end that someone will be encouraged, inspired to go on in life today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes says a big amen. I want to speak to you in a continuation of the series that we began last week. I began talking to you about the power of prayer. Somebody say with me, the power of prayer. And we began to precisely look at releasing our Cyrus. Amen. Releasing our Cyrus. Amen. And we said last week that prayer is not an end in itself by itself. Is that okay? So you don't just pray to pray. You pray to shift things. Amen to Jesus. So you pray to shift things. You pray to alter things. You pray to fellowship with God. You pray to get direction from God. So prayer is not an end in itself, but prayer is a means to an end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Having said all of that, I'd like to quickly announce to every one of us that in the hour and the time that we find ourselves in, God is calling us as his people back to the place of prayer. You know, I'm one person who believe in the importance of planning. But I've come to realize that while it is good to plan, I've come to realize that it is better to pray the plan into manifestation. Am I talking to anybody here? It is good to work hard. But then I've also come to realize that it is better to pray harder. I've also come to realize that it is easier to take a stand and fall, but you cannot be on your knees and stumble. Hallelujah. You can stand and fall. You can take a stand and fall. You can stand for something and fall, but you can be on your knees and fall. You can be in the place of prayer and stumble. It is better to spend the whole day in the place of prayer than to wander about for a whole year not getting what you're looking for. I'd rather wait upon the Lord until my change come than to go about the whole year trying to fix myself. Hallelujah. It is easier to do more work by praying before work than by work itself. And I learned that from George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver happens to be one of the finest scientists we have in the world. One man who was able to bring out three different products by just looking at the peanut. One man looked at peanut and brought us 300 different products from a peanut. And someone once asked Washington Carver, said to him, he said, what is the secret? Happens to be a black man. He said to him, he said, come, what is your secret? How is it that all the scientists are not achieving as much as you do? You know what he said to them? He said, while all the scientists concentrate on the microscope, he said, I spend much of my time praying. so that the manufacturer, the maker of the product, will tell me what he intended to accomplish with the product. You didn't get what I just said right now? He said, while all the scientists are busy carrying the microscope, running experiments in the lab, trying to figure out what can this be used for. You know, the worst thing that can ever happen is to look at the creature to find the purpose of the creature from the creature. So what George Washington Carver says he normally does is that he will go to the place of prayer and say, Father, you created peanut. Can you begin to tell me what can come out from a peanut? And he says in the place of prayer, God will begin to show him some of the things that you're using today. Touch your neighbor and say to your neighbor, there's power in prayer. Say it again to somebody and say, there's power in prayer. Hallelujah. All right. I like the words of Andre Murray. He once said that prayer is the pulse of life. Prayer, you know, normally I see sometimes when people are involved in an accident or something like that, and you find medical doctors will come and then they try to check out for, they put their hands around the neck. Am I correct? And they say they're trying to check for what? And once they can't feel pulse, then they confirm that the person is what? Now I've come to realize that if prayer is the pulse of life, and we can't feel the pulse of prayer in the life of a Christian, then it is almost possible for us to say that, hey, something is wrong. Prayer is the pulse of life. Prayer is the means by which we talk to God and advance His will for our lives on earth. That God has a plan for your life does not necessarily mean that that plan will come to pass until you begin to pray. No matter how noble, how grandiose the plans of God are for your life, if you don't begin to pray, nothing much will happen in your life. I've come to discover from studies that prayer is one of the most powerful, potent weapons by which you can release the cirrhosis that God has designed to release into your lives to effect His plans and His purposes for your life. For the purpose of helping those of us who were not here last week, I will try to explain to you who a Cyrus is. But I will encourage you to get the CD so that it can further on, expose you to the world of Cyruses. Is that okay? Cyrus is anybody. Cyrus is somebody who has been empowered by God to assist you, usher you to the next phase of God's plan for your life. Help me look at your neighbor and say, I need a Cyrus. Now look at somebody and say, it seems you're my Cyrus. All right, let me define it again. All right. Okay. Now, a Cyrus is an individual, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, irrespective of race, creed, religion. It doesn't matter what it is. A Cyrus is someone who has the hand of God on his life, has been empowered by God to bring to pass the counsel of God for your life. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that person has to be born again. Because some of the times you come to realize that the people that God will use to usher you to the next dimension in your life will not be people that know God at all. So Cyruses are men and women that God has empowered. I shared with you the story how he had to go through the survival period of his life. How that his father wanted to kill him. Astyages wanted to kill him. When he discovered that his daughter Mendane was pregnant with him. And then he had to call on Harpagos for Harpagos to take Mendane to the wilderness. And then ensure that the birth of the child is killed. And then Harpagos got to the wilderness. When he saw the child, something moved on the inside of Harpagos and said, don't kill this child. The reason why that thing moved on Harpagos not to kill the child is because Cyrus must of necessity be alive to bring to pass the counsel of God for the Israelite to bring them out of 70 years of captivity. How does some people have been spared and prospered for your sake? All right. Okay, how that God has prospered you and spared you for the sake of somebody else. Amen. Oh, we're going somewhere this morning. You're going to like this one this morning too. Now listen. How many of you want Cyruses in your life? You want them to come. Somebody say, Cyrus, comment unto me now. Okay, now I'd like you to look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, if you've been looking for a Cyrus, I'm one. you know, the point is this. You can never expect the arrival of a Cyrus in your life when you don't make yourself a Cyrus to somebody else. At every point in time, you can be a Cyrus to somebody else. There's never a point in your life where you're not better than somebody else. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? All right. So why you say, Cyrus, come it. You better start asking yourself, who am I supposed to be a Cyrus? Hallelujah. Let's quickly get down to our case study today. It's a very, very interesting case study, and I really want to take you into it. But you know, let me say this. Let me say this quickly before somebody forgets it. Nobody on earth can be a Cyrus to God. Ooh. You can never be a Cyrus to God. Never get to a point in your life when you think that you are a Cyrus to God. The day you get to that point, that will be the day where the Most High and yourself will decide who is the true owner of the universe. You can only be a Cyrus for God. Did you get what I just said right now? Because God is the manufacturer of Cyruses. And he made you. And you were made for his purpose. You were not made to be a Cyrus to God, because God does not have any help, need for any help. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does not need your help. He doesn't have any need that his nature cannot provide for. Okay, so the question is, why do you give to a church? So you have an opportunity to be blessed. Because it's the Lord that the universe has put in place, the Almighty has put in place, that if he must of necessity bless you, he must check your heart to see if you're someone who operates by the law of giving and what, sir? Receive it. So help me touch your neighbor and say, before you go too far, remember you can't be a Cyrus to God. You can only be a Cyrus for God. Because if I don't say that quickly, somebody's already expecting a phone call from God to say, can you help me? Praise God. Okay, let's get down to our case study in the next few minutes. The case study in view is a story about a man called Cornelius. Is that okay? Cornelius happens to be a captain in the military. Happens to be a military officer in his days. In actual fact, we're made to understand that Cornelius was in charge of 100 Italian military men. That was why the Bible calls him the captain of the Italian band. Is that okay? So he was in charge of 100 Italian military men. So he was a leader. Is that okay? He was a leader. He was a military leader. And then he had people under his command. Not only that, the Bible makes us understand that this man was a very wealthy man. He was wealthy enough to the point that the Bible says he was used to giving of alms. You know, he was somebody that likes to give out. If you use different translations of the Bible, you come to realize that it reflected his wealthy nature. So he was a leader. He was a wealthy man. He was a man who had several people under his influence. He was today one of the people you can call a CEO, a manager, an owner of a corporation, one who has people working for him. I'm not sure I have anybody here yet who has 100 people working for you. I don't think I have anybody here or having 100 people working under you. But this man called Cornelius was a man who had 100 people working under him. You see, one of the things that really intrigues me about him is the fact that Cornelius was a God-fearing man. Somebody say God-fearing. Now, it's very strange for a military man to be a God-fearing man. Thank God for the military men that we have in our church here. You know, for the fact that they love God so very much. I mean, our military men in this church love God so very much. I mean, you see a military man, some of them are here in our midst here, military officers, and they are just there sitting down quietly because they love God. Now, these are the people I call the Cornelius of our days. Men who are military men, officers in the military, but yet can come and sit down recognizing the commander in chief of the universe. Am I talking to somebody here? So the Bible makes us understand that although he was a military officer who is supposed to be used to violence, we're made to understand that this man was a God-fearing man. I want to ask you a question. I know that right now you're working for somebody. I know that right now you have about 3, 4, 5, 10 people working under you. My question to you is this. By the time you have 100 people working under you, will you still be God-fearing? By the time you've... how many of us are praying to arrive? We are praying to arrive. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm gonna pray for next level, next level, next level. Okay, okay. How many of us are praying for next dimension? Next dimension. I get it. You will get there. But the question is, when you get there, will you be able to still pray? Will you still love God? Now, if there's anybody who should have the reason, any reason to say, listen, I can pray, it should be someone like Cornelius, who's got so many people under his control. We're made to understand he was a God-fearing man. He was a wealthy man. But you see, beyond all of that, he was one man who had his family under the influence of God. The Bible says so. His whole household also feared the Lord God Almighty. But beyond all of that, one thing I like about Cornelius was the fact that the Bible says he was a man that was given to prayer always. He was given to prayer always. He prayed all the times. I like the words of E.M. Bounds. He said, what the church needs today is not more machines or better machines. He said, not new organizations. He said, we don't need more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, women of prayer, men who are mighty in prayer, and women who are mighty in prayer. Listen to this. E.M. Bounds said, the Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men, through women who are yielded to the Spirit of God in the place of prayer. He does not come on machines, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men and women of prayer. What he is trying to say in essence is that there is a need for us to begin to pray like never before, irrespective of our positions in society. You're an MD, it's time to pray. You have people under you, it's time to pray. You're single, it's time to pray. You have children like Cornelius, you've got a wife, you've got kids, it's time to pray. You've got accounts to balance, you've got salaries to pay, you've got reports to make. Whatever the situation or circumstance is, we are coming to a point of realization whereby if we don't pray, we will stray. If we don't begin to pray, we will begin to go astray. And let me quickly say this, Satan laughs when you plan. Is that okay? Satan mocks when you go around talking about the things that you want to do. But there is something the devil cannot stand. The devil cannot stand the weakest Christian on his knees. Am I talking to anybody here? Stand and talk as much as you can talk. You know, you and I, we've talked a lot. Am I talking to somebody here? But you see, when we begin to pray, things begin to shift. Look at what that woman said. She said, listen, she said from January, she was crying. And I was saying, God, didn't you see her tears? And God said, son, I'm not moved by the tears of my children. The only thing that moves me is when my children come with their tears to the place of prayer and invoke my word and place a demand on me to perform the things that I've said concerning them. Only when I see tears mixed up with the word in the place of prayer do I respond. Oh God, look at what the devil is doing in my life. If you don't pray, nothing is going to change. Please help me look at somebody. Say, pray. Say, don't stray. Good morning. Sir, why is it that we have issues of, I don't know who to marry. I don't know what business to invest into. Because the reality is that we use our head a lot. We don't pray. It's time to pray. Somebody say, it's time to pray. As successful as Cornelius was, he still needed a Cyrus. Something was missing. Can you imagine all the things I laid out about the profile of Cornelius? A military officer, 100 people under him. I mean, that's what every one of us want to have. Am I correct? We want to rise in our profile, in our careers. Now, this was a very successful man, had a good family. What else are you looking for? He's got money. Wealthy. Wouldn't you say such a man is complete? But then we came to realize that there was something that was missing, an experience that this man needed to complete his life. And for that experience to come to pass, he needed someone who will have to function like a Cyrus to bring to pass the counsel of God for his own life. This man was to become the first among the Gentiles to know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially, and then experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was to become the first in the lineage of the Gentiles to experience God like nobody else has ever done. Is there anybody here who wants to be the first in your lineage who will experience what nobody else has ever experienced? I'm talking about positive experiences. I'm talking about favor, breakthrough, increase like never before. Is anybody here who is really saying, Father, alter the sequence in my lineage. Lift me up. Let this lineage not perish like this. Anybody here lifting your hands to the Lord and saying, Father, look at my elder brother. Look at my elder sister. Look at the way our lives are. Look at the mess. Look at the shenanigans of the enemy. Look at all the mess that the enemy is creating in this family. My Father, look at him. My grandfather, look at him. Look at my mother. Look at my grandmother. Look at the mess going on. Lord, can you please make me the jinx breaker, the limit breaker? Can you make me the pathfinder, Lord? Can you make me the one who creates a new standard, Lord? Can you take me from this pattern and put me on a new pedestal? Anybody like that here, say, Lord, raise me. Cornelius was to become the first among the rest. Oh, I see so many firsts here. Somebody was talking to me during the week and said, Pastor Sam, it's so terrible to sit down and think and say to myself, when I look at my family line, he said, Pastor Sam, it's so painful to think that when it comes to rising up to the occasion, there's nobody among my family, nobody among my mother's children that is on his feet or on our feet on the ground. Is it that this one is crawling or the other one is crawling or the other one is trying to get up? Everybody's going through one challenge or the other. Everybody going through a divorce. My elder brother had a divorce. My elder sister had a divorce. My brother had high blood pressure. My elder sister had high blood pressure. The other one had diabetes. This one too has diabetes. The other one has this problem. The other one has that problem. Father, is there no one that can make up the gap that this lineage be not wasted? Somebody's got to be the jinx breaker. Somebody say, I'm the one. And that was what God wanted to make out of Cornelius. He was to be the first among the Gentiles to have such an experience with the Holy Spirit. The answer to his need, please, this is where the message is getting into the Cyrus factor. The answer to the need of Cornelius was packaged in a man called Peter. Unfortunately, Peter was not in Caesarea. Peter, at this point, was in Joppa, hundreds of miles away. Ah, thank you. I perceive in my spirit very strongly that which you are praying about, listen to this, God said I should tell you that the answer will not come. I got your attention. But that the answer is already here on earth. And that answer is locked up in somebody. Somebody has the answer to the question that you're asking right now. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Watch this carefully. Cornelius needed an answer from God. And the answer, the experience, was locked up in a man called Peter. Peter, on the other side, was in Joppa, miles away from Caesarea. Something has to happen. My Cyrus is in Joppa, and I'm here in Caesarea in need of my Cyrus. That was what Cornelius found himself in. Peter was to come from Joppa and usher this man called Cornelius to the next level or to the next dimension of God's plan for his life. But you see, for that to happen, God needed to move Peter from Joppa and connect him with Cornelius. Then let's zoom in now on the Peter, because you see, now we know that Cornelius has a need and we know where the answer is. Am I correct? We now know that, first of all, we know that the answer exists. Am I correct? We know that there's a solution to the problem. Am I correct? And then we now know also that the solution is packaged in somebody, but the issue right now is that the person is not aware Peter is. So let's zoom in on Peter. You see, Peter was to be sent as a Cyrus to Cornelius, but he was several miles away. So God needed to do one thing first. The first thing God needed to do was to collapse geographical boundaries. Lord, have mercy. You see, as I'm speaking right now, some of the things that God wants to do in your life will require, for instance, I don't know who it is, but I know somebody has been blessed this morning by the ministry of Lenny LeBlanc. Am I talking to somebody here? But you see, for that to happen, God had to collapse geographical boundaries and ensure that Lenny finds his way here. He came here not for all of us. He came in as a Cyrus to somebody here who's been waiting on God for an answer. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? But you see, there's got to be some shiftings. America has got to be collapsed into Nigeria. Oh God, am I talking to somebody here? Ah, I like this one, sir. You see, it was not easy for Cornelius to go to Joppa. And so God said, if you can go to Joppa, I know how to bring Joppa to Caesarea. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here who needs a divine collapsing of geographical boundaries. There's someone who needs to connect with you, but the person is in the United Kingdom. The person is in Australia. The person is in Jamaica. The person is in Hawaii. I want to come and declare to you here that God is a master planner. He knows how to collapse geographical boundaries. Am I talking to somebody here? Whatever it has to take, whatever God has to do to collapse boundaries and enforce connection, I came to declare by the Spirit of the Lord that that will happen in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say something else here. You see, Peter, who was a carrier of the experience that Cornelius needed, watch this carefully. Peter was racially biased. This is the biggest problem now. Peter was racially biased to people like Cornelius. And so God said, listen, this man, can you come quick? Can I have Ichini to come quickly? Wale, come quickly. Watch this carefully. Wale, you stand over there. Thank you. You look more like Cornelius. Okay, can I play God here today? Just act, is that okay? Fine. Now here is Peter. Cornelius, doesn't he look like Cornelius? He's got everything, am I correct? When you look at a man like this, the natural tendency is to want to walk up to him and say, please, I'm financially broke. And you may not even know what he's going through. I know Nigerians are very good at that. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so here is a general. Here is a military officer. Here is a man who's got money. Here is a man who's got a good family. Here is a man who's got good kids. Here is a man who's got money. He gives out to people and all of that. But the Bible makes us understand that he has got an experience. As blessed as he is, the Bible makes us understand that something was still missing in his life. And what was missing in his own life, the Bible makes us understand that that was an abundant experience in the life of another person called Peter. Oh, God have mercy. See, as I begin to teach with this illustration, I want you to believe very strongly that you are not only watching an illustration, you are watching what is going to happen in your life. Your present need, there is somebody called Peter who is your Cyrus, who carries what? The introduction. There's somebody who can introduce you to a place where you want to be introduced to. There's somebody who can sign the letter you've been praying to God to have somebody sign. There's always somebody who can be the bridge builder. The problem is that Peter is here in Joppa, miles away from Cornelius. So the first thing God has to do is to collapse boundaries, collapse distance. Make sure that by 1001 way, for whatever reason, Peter will have a reason to come to Caesarea. You're not getting what I'm saying. I'm speaking to singles. Amen. Sister, I'm speaking to singles in the house of God. Amen. Amen of Jesus. You see, the point is this. Your Peter is somewhere. Sister Cornelius. Amen. What is the female version for Cornelius? Sister Corday? Sister Corday? Huh?
Cornelia.
Sister Connie.
If you will take what I'm teaching you seriously today, you will begin to see the power. Listen, I'm only here to dramatize scripture and to show you the potency of prayer. And Jesus is the same yesterday, the same today, and forevermore. If it happened before, it can happen again if we operate the same principle. Am I talking to somebody here? So, Sister Cornelia, here you are in need of a brother Peter to say, you've been praying, oh God, Father, oh Lord, look at me, I'm single. Stop telling God you're single. And I hope you do know that God doesn't get to know. God never gets to know anything. God is omniscient. What that means is that he had always known. There is nothing that happens to you that God had not known. So don't get to God and say, Father, did you see what happened to me? He had seen that it will happen. If only you would turn your eyes towards him, he will show you why it happened. And he will show you what is about to happen. Come on, bless him if you want to. So, Sister Cornelia, here we have Brother Peter. Brother Peter is somewhere in Spain, rounding up his masters now, walking with, will you prophesy to where you want him to walk? Walking with Sheloando, okay. Look at you, sister. Man of God. Sisters have dreams. Chinedu, are you truly, or you want to be a Peter to somebody? Okay, if you are there, you can also claim this one, this illustration as a Peter. Now watch this carefully. You see, it is not the absence of your partner that is the reason why you are single. It's just the prevalence of geographical boundaries. There are prevailing boundaries. Something that has made a man that should be in Abuja to meet with you, something has made that man to go somewhere to Abia State. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Can I prove that to you in scriptures? Here we have the situation where the Bible says that Naomi was a Moabitess. Is that okay, sir? And then the Bible makes us understand that Ruth was a Moabitess. And then Naomi and her children went over to the land of Moab in the time of famine. And the Bible said they got married to Husa, to the sons, this man called Mahlon and Chilion. Am I correct, sir? And then the Bible said those boys died and her husband died. And so the Bible said Naomi was to come back alone. And when she was to come back, watch this carefully, sir. On the other side in Bethlehem, Judah, we're made to understand there's a man called Boaz who carries a seed that will produce Obed and produce Jesse and produce Jesus. Am I talking to Sokaribo Jada? You better understand what I'm trying to say. Boaz was on the other side. Boaz was rich. Boaz was wealthy. He had people working for him. Daughters of Israel were there. But God will not let Boaz marry any of them. The reason was because Ruth was the one that carried the womb. Please listen to me, sisters. Don't just marry a man for his face. You better ask yourself, is my womb designed to carry his seed? Am I talking to somebody here? And brother, be careful, sir, not to carry the seed that God has given to you and drop in any womb. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? There is a womb that is designed to carry your seed. You better pray and find your way there. I know the Pentecostal church is trying to make us forget about the place of prayer, but we still know that prayer works. We still know that prayer is powerful. We know that if you don't pray, you will become a prey. We know if you don't pray, things will not shift. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Money is wonderful, but money cannot do what prayer can do. Am I talking to somebody here? Good clothes, good cars, good house, they are wonderful, but none of them can do what prayer can do. Please help me look at your neighbor, say pray, 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 pray. Check it out. Give me a few minutes, let me not preach ahead of myself. Now watch this carefully. Boaz was in Bethlehem. Am I correct, sir? Now he was in the land of Israel. But the womb that was designed to carry his own seed was among a cursed tribe. I hope you know that Ruth was from a cursed tribe, Moab. So nothing good was to come out from that tribe. But when God is ready to make someone your Cyrus, God will overrule protocol in your interest. God said, Ruth, I know you're from a cursed tribe, but I see you a womb that can carry the seed of Boaz, because I see that you are supposed to be part of the lineage that will produce Jesus. And I can imagine Ruth having a discussion with God, saying, God, but how about the daughters of Israel? Are there no daughters in Judah? Are there no daughters from the tribe of Bethlehem? Are there no daughters from the right tribe of Gad, from the tribe of Naphtali, from the tribe of Zebulun? And God said, I know there are daughters, but your womb is designed for this assignment. And so God said, I'm going to do something. Somebody said, if she had known, she should not have gone to Bethlehem, Judah. When your life is scheduled to carry out prophecy, there's nothing you can do about it. By all means necessary, Ruth was to be brought into the land of Bethlehem. Am I talking to somebody here? Oh, but Pastor Sam, see how Malon and Chilon and the husband of Ruth, see how they die premature death. They didn't die premature death. They die exactly the way they were supposed to die. This was exactly the plan of God, because if the husband of Naomi had been alive, he would have taken over Ruth. I'm not getting what I'm saying. So there had to be complete elimination. It has happened before. You remember the case of Judah? Judah had to get a daughter-in-law. He got a daughter for his own son, and her name happened to be Tamar. Am I talking to somebody here? And that girl married the children, two boys. She got married to them, and they slept with her, but their seed did not stay in her womb.
Thank you so much. One more song.
You know why, sir? Her womb was not designed to carry their seeds. The shocking part is this. Her womb was actually designed to carry the seed of her father-in-law. Because her father-in-law's seed was the one that was supposed to produce the Messiah to come. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Listen, I said in Sokoto to them, I said, please, this is Sam Oye's translation. Is that okay? I said, something makes me understand this clearly. That if only Judah had waited and not rushed to get married, he would have actually married Tamar. But for you to understand that Tamar is the one designed to carry his seed, when the time came for Tamar to step in, first of all, number one, God didn't allow the sons to put their seed in her womb. Number two, the son that was supposed to marry, he carried the son and hid him away from her. Number three, the wife that should have become an obstacle was cleared from the way. See, when it is time for God to move people into your life, he will do whatever is necessary to bring them into your life. Somebody's not saying a big amen here. I feel something here. Your Cyrus is coming. Am I talking to somebody here? Your Cyrus is coming. Wherever it's coming from, I don't know. How God will move him into your life, I don't know. But the point is that right now, there is a restructuring, reorganizing, replanning going on to ensure that your Cyrus comes in. Let me go on my story. And so you know the story, how that, you know, eventually Ruth came in. And watch this. Boaz was not a kingsman redeemer. It was not supposed to be. The one that was supposed to be was not married. For you to know that it is not of him that willeth, but of God. The first man who was supposed to redeem Ruth, when he saw her, he said, no, I will not take you on. Hello, sir. He did not say he will not take her on. He was made not to take her on, because her womb was not meant to carry his seed. Oh, some of you will really have to look back. Many of you are married right now. We need to thank God and bless the name of the Lord for not letting you settle with Janet and not let you settle with for us. No, I don't know if anybody's serious here, but those of us who are married, thank God, Pastor Sunday, praise God for not letting me settle with Vicky. You're not serious. So it's my Vicky you are taking seriously. Apologies to all the Vickys in the house. Amen. But man of God looked back. You know, Vicky had a pointed nose. You can't understand what I'm saying. It's a serious. Anytime I look at Vicky's, ladies asking my wife about Vicky. Every time I look at Vicky, you know, I get inspired. Inspired. That was before I became born again. Is that okay? But thank God that I didn't settle for a pointed nose. Because a pointed nose does not keep a good home. A pointed nose does not keep your family focused. A visionary man like me needs a nose that is not pointed, a one that is arranged. Somebody bless him. You can't understand what I'm saying. When it was time, Cyrus, my Cyrus, come. Come, come. If you don't celebrate my wife, you don't like good thing. Amen. I don't work out small. I have waka a little. That's is that okay? I have wakas. I know a lot of you, your life has been straight. But for some of us, we have wakas. Lenny, the word wakas mean we've gone to different places. Is that okay? Now watch this carefully. Before. See, I am not only inspired, I am revolutionized. Watch this carefully. I want to show you how this Cyrus came into my life. I had gone one way before. I had thought it was sister this. I had thought it was sister so and so. In fact, there was one I picked, and the man of God said to me, go and marry her. And I told my mother, said, shut up. What are you trying to say? Mommy, don't worry. And I went to the man of God and said, yeah, join us. I said, money. Join us. I'll do wedding. Only for me to later discover that the girl had a heart condition. Exactly 1 year later, the girl passed away. So my eyes came down. And then I began to pray. I was here in Abuja. Again, two show up. Two other. And this one came. And she said, look, sorry. I'm going to Pastor. I said, oh, Pastor, it's not here. But Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor John, you know the one I'm talking about. We have gone to dedicate our child. That would have been my child. Wow! The devil is a liar. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Hey, she called me into 1 2-room apartment. And she said to me, say, you see the house? This will be our house. Number two, she said, land in Apo. She said, we're going to start our church in Apo. You remember that? We even went and put it on our church newsletter. Harvest House, Abuja, watch out for us. We are coming to Apo. But one day, sir, we were looking for her. And then while we were looking for her, the lady now came to me and said, she said, you know, when we start our church, there are a few things I'm going to teach you. Hey. I said, teach me. And the Lord said to me, if you don't, fear again. Now, sorry. Now, the word fear again is, yes, Janetta, I don't know what Feregeis is in Russian or Ukraine. You there with me, Janetta? God bless you. But I'm sure Rosa is going to interpret that to you. The word Feregeis, Rosa, means escape. Is that okay? Run. Is that okay? Fantastic. That's good. You flee. Is that okay? All right. So I had to flee. Is that okay? I took off only for me to later discover that actually the mission of that lady is to get, that she said that because she doesn't want to carry a spirit of strange men, so that she said instead of her sleeping around with strange unbelievers, that she would rather sleep with anointed men of God so that she can carry their children. That's her philosophy. And that was how God delivered me.
Then another one came. She said, listen, Sam. She said, I like your approach to marriage. You know, you're one man that has, you know, you're very foreign in your approach, the way you treat women. You know, you talk nice to women. I never raised my hand one day. I have never insulted her. Is that okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, I shall not. Amen. Watch us. So she said that, you know, I like that and all of that. And something tells me you are the one I'm going to marry. I say, hey! Now, the person I'm talking about happens to be a multi-millionaire. She was the one in charge of the organization for the AGM of one of the biggest banks in Nigeria. She's got houses in Apo. She's got a car. At that time, it was Toyota Corolla that was raining. First lady, backlift. And she said, you see, I'm about to leave for London. This is supposed to be our car. If only you will accept my proposal, and that's your house, 3-bedroom flat. Ah! And I love her because, you see, she was very sincere. She was the first black lady that I saw that was very sincere. That did not keep her feelings and be going around. She said it. I had that one and I said, God, you have to rescue me in this city of Abuja. And I began to pray, Father, who is it? And God said, go back. I was in Abuja. God said, go back to Lagos. I said, Lagos. What's going on in Lagos? Ah, you see, your Cyrus is in Lagos. So. I did not know 6 months before, my mother was in the place of prayer and God spoke to my mom that this lady was going to be my wife. But my mother knows my philosophies. So my mother said she will not tell me, but that she will touch God until God opened my eyes. I was in Abuja trying to go my way. And then God said, go back to Lagos. I was in Lagos. I went into 3-day fasting and prayer. At the end of it, God said, that's a woman. Ha, I said, God. And I went to my mom. I said, Mom, there's a lady I want to talk to you about. She said, who is it? And I said, so-and-so person said, when did you get to know? I said, 2 days ago. She said, I've known 6 months ago and I've started teaching her how to pray. Herself and my mother will be spending midnights in prayer because my mother is a praying person. So my mother will call her to initiate her into the culture of prayer in the night. So she will not be sleeping. Prayer. Praise God. Now, but this is the problem. Naturally, I am biased. I was like Peter. The reason is very simple. Her elder sister was a worker in my fellowship years before. Her elder brother was also in my own fellowship and they were workers. If there was anybody the family were expecting me to come and propose to, it should be her elder sister. Somebody say Leah. Hey, but you see, sir, you see, this womb was only designed to carry my seed. David can only come from this kind of womb. You know David? Have you seen David? He can only come from this kind of. And the other ones are coming from the same womb. I know that's what you like. Praise God. The beauty is this. She stepped into my life and God has used that in the last 9 years to reorganize my life and my destiny. Thank you, Cyrus. Thank you. If you know Sabi, celebrate your wife. Now you, Sabi. That is my God's gift. Is that okay? That's why my life is colorful. You can call your own any name. Having said that, we had a case whereby Boaz was waiting. Here were women. But the Bible did not in any way declare that he proposed to any of them. The king's man redeemer will not take her on. That's talking about Ruth. And then the Bible made us understand that when they first rejected her, the Bible makes us understand that suddenly, Boaz said, listen, I will take you on. And when he took him on, they gave back to Obed, gave back to Jesse, gave back to David, and so it ran until Jesus came. I came here to let you know that your destiny links are not too far from you.
But whatever is keeping them from you, there's going to be a collapsing of the boundaries. So here we have Peter. He needs to be in the life of Cornelius. But he had racial problems. His problems, he doesn't believe so much in the fact that they should have anything to do with Gentiles. It was a major problem. And you know what God did? God said, listen to me. You must carry out the assignment that I want you to carry out. Cornelius is in the place of prayer. Things must shift. That is why don't get tired of praying. Keep on praying until something happens. And the Lord came. You know what God did? God says, I must deal with everything holding this man here. So God visited him in a vision. And then God showed him a basket coming down from heaven with all manner of fruits, unclean birds and animals. And God said, rise, kill and eat. Huh? For you to know how serious it was, even in the dream, even in the spirit world, this man said, God, you know I will not do such things. For you to know it was not just a conscious programming. Eh, God, me marry Calabar woman? No. Marry Yoruba man? My father-in-law told his daughter, I said, look, none of you will marry a Yoruba man. Hey. I said, you've not seen one. The day I was going to their house, I understood the principle of how they got Rebecca. When the servant of Abraham was going, he went with gifts. And that's why some of you young men, that's why they're always bouncing you out in every family you go to. Just go with one dry short tie. With parting on your head and something like that. And appear before the father of the girl and like, hello daddy sir, I came to propose to your daughter. And the father tells you, I came to propose to you two to find your way out of this place. When I was going, I went to the friend. This may be a very helpful man of God. You know, I went to the friend and I said, before, let's go to one of the biggest supermarkets in Lagos, in Ikeja. Went to a very fantastic supermarket. Person, that's the strategy you apply to. I told Pastor, I said, apply the same strategy, because his wife's father was not the man that was ready to take nonsense. Pastor didn't have a job. I think we just got an information you were getting a job around that period. And then he was going to propose marriage. He had not even proposed friendship. So I told him, I said, the very first thing you get there, once they grant you friendship, propose marriage. I said, but the key is, make sure, she has a lot of brothers around her, make sure you buy enough gifts. As you're arriving, first of all, go to the younger brothers, because those ones can be the geographical boundaries. It is good to pray. And what I think prayer will do for you, it will give you wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him do what, sir? And what is asking? Pastor Sunday got there with gifts. Hey, hi guys, biscuit. You, how? Hey, he has never met them before. Hi guy, you, popcorn, take, you know. Hi guys, you, have you eaten burger before? This is from Abuja. You've never been to Abuja before. Hi, how are you? The one that looks douche. Hey, have you eaten chocolate before? Chocolate. Because you see, in the lorry, what they eat a lot there is wara. My God, my time has gone and these people are enjoying themselves. I better round up. I'll continue next week. I'm still alive. Why should I preach all my message in one Sunday? Did you notice what Lenny LeBlanc did? He only sang four songs. That's okay. Is that not okay? You want him to sing everything he's singing since 1974? If you want that one, you go and get the CD. Alright, watch this carefully. I had to take the gift. Fantastic gifts. Bought them. I know what, when I wrapped it with a transparent paper. In a very nice basket. So, and I told the pastor coming with me, I said, listen, as we get there, I said, we are not giving them the gift. We hold our gift. So,
learning how to be smart. I had to be smart. So what I did was to carry the gift, and as I entered the house, I just carried the gift and I said, "Baba, good afternoon, sir." And as I said, "Welcome, welcome." But you know, as I was about entering the house, that was the first time in my life I just saw my wife. She was on this short. And take it easy now. Don't fall under the anointing. She was on this short and she was on this handless. Now, initially, everything that led me to her was revelational. But this time around, it was confirmational. When I saw my wife on short, I said, "Father, you there's no way you could have led me astray." I said, "I now see what you are showing me in the spirit. See what it looks like here." That's why she's very smart. In the house, she does nothing. Especially when the coast is clear. She's always on her short. And I'll be doing as if I'm working on iPad. I'll be reading my books. And it's okay. PJ, you have to come and get me out of this place. What am I still doing here by this time? Praise God. I brought the gift, kept it in my front, and then the father was like, "Welcome. So we lunch, you're coming to see us. What do you come to see us for?" I said, "I just came to tell you that was barely 3 days after I proposed to her. I said, "I came to tell you that I'm interested in your daughter and all of that. I'd be so honored if you give me the permission to continue relationship with her and all of that." So he said, "No problem, no problem." And then I used my leg a little bit, kicked the gift. I said, "I also want to propose that if you permit us in the next 3 months, we would like to be married." What are you cutting for? 9 years courtship. What are you looking for? Eh? You look for it after 9 years and get into marriage and discover that you never discover what you thought you discovered. Everybody can cover up anything for as long as it takes to remain relevant. Is that okay? All right, what was I saying before? Okay, so I kicked the stuff and the father was like, "Okay." So I said, "Sir, I came to propose marriage." And sir, before he would say anything, I said, "Sir, we also brought this for you, sir." And he said, "It's okay, it's okay. It's okay." And that was how our marriage dates were fixed. There on the spot. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So I conquered this biasness. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Peter, God had to visit him in the spirit and say, "Listen, you are destined to be a Cyrus to somebody. You cannot be holding this, he's a Yoruba person, he's an Hausa person, he's this, he's that. Get rid of all of that." The third thing God had to do was that God now came to Peter and said, "Peter, you've got to be on your way to his house." They had to send people to the place and then they had to come get Peter. And watch this, the Bible made us understand that Peter had to now come over into, watch this, Peter had to come into Cornelius' house. And when he got there, it was then we got to realize that number one, they were not baptized into Christ. It was then we discovered that they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Before you, they had everything. But you see, only God knows what everybody truly needs. And that is why God will send the Cyrus into your life, not to give you what you want, but what you need. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Let me begin to close my, thank you so very much. Let's put our hands together for that. You see, when it was time for Peter to meet with Cornelius, all the official protocols were collapsed. All the issue of, Peter, should we permit him or not permit him? Protocol were collapsed. Difficulties were removed. Locational matters were taken away. And all of a sudden, we noticed that the Bible says, as soon as they arrived, and let me close here. As soon as they arrived there, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What was lacking in their life was supplied. And the Bible says also they were filled with they were also baptized with water so that these people were complete. So that after Cornelius had left, and after Peter had left, you come to the house of Cornelius, and what you will find is a complete person. You know, one thing I want to tell you was this: every time God sends a Cyrus into your life, they usually will come to add some blocks to some things that are missing, complete you in an area that you're not completed. When Eve came into the life of Adam as a Cyrus, she came to complete his incompleteness. Am I talking to somebody here? You see, the upon is that God knows truly what you really need. And then God knows who can come to supply what you need. But you must never forget this, that for Cornelius to have Peter come into his life, three things had to be in place. Number one, he had to be a man of prayer. He was a man that the Bible said prayed always. But beyond that, Pastor, you see, when God was going to speak to Cornelius, it says your prayer and your arms. Please let me touch your neighbor. Say, it's not just prayer alone. Say to somebody, giving is also important. So he said, your prayer and your giving. You see, we are living in the days whereby those who pray a lot don't give at all. But you see, if you're ever going to prosper, you must learn to pray and learn to give. The Bible says he was a man that learned to give. He was a man that gives to the needy, gives to the poor, and gives to the things of God. He was a man that learns to give. If you want God to power up your prayer to the place where it produces result, don't just be a person of prayer. Prayer is wonderful, but prayer can be glorious if it is sandwiched with giving. Please let me talk. Somebody say, learn to give, learn to give. Say it again to somebody, say, learn to give. Yes. So number one, we saw that he was a man of prayer. And then number two, he was a giver. Number three, we discovered that this man called Cornelius that needed a Cyrus in his life. We discovered, sir, that he was also a Cyrus to others. Am I talking to somebody here? He was a man that knows how to wipe away the tears of other people. If you want God to send someone to come and wipe away your own tears, learn to wipe away the tears of other people. If you want God to send someone into your life that will bring joy and laughter into your life, you learn to bring joy and laughter into other people's lives. The reason is because what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. If you're a lifter up of others, God will send lifters into your life. If you're a destiny link to others, God will send destiny links into your life. This man called Cornelius was used to helping other people, and as a result of that, God had to send help into his life. I came to prophesy to someone who is like Cornelius. You've been praying, you've been giving, you've made your life a blessing to others. I came to prophesy to you that in the next few weeks, the next few months, your Cyrus will show up. I didn't get an amen in the house of God. I said your Cyrus will show up. I said your Cyrus will show up. In your business, your Cyrus will show up. In your marriage, your Cyrus will show up. In your spiritual life, your Cyrus will show up. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of the Lord. Take it out. Let me close by asking you to stand on your feet as I pray. I want to prophesy on some of you here. I shared so many things using humor and the rest of that. But the message is very clear. Number one, if you want God to send into your life someone that is capable, empowered enough to take you to a dimension that only God could have ever made to happen, number one, be a person of prayer. Number two, be a giver. Number three, be a Cyrus to others. Give and it shall be given back to you. If you give yourself to others, others will give themselves to you. What you make happen for others, God will make much more to happen for you. You want to fulfill those three conditions. You want to say, Lord, I want to be a praying person, I want to be a giving person, and I want to be a Cyrus to others in my generation. Lift your hands to the Lord and speak to him as I pray.